And they are Dervis C. Taylor versus Argonaut Southwest Insurance Company from Hale County, AVR Ruiz versus Conoco Incorporated from Starr County, and William Palmer and others versus the Cobble Wall Trust Company and others from Bear County. All three of these arguments will be completed before lunch, but we will take a brief recess in between the presentation of each. The arguments are being recorded for the convenience of the court. If you desire to listen to a tape of the arguments, please make application with our clerk. The court is now ready to hear arguments from petitioner in Taylor versus Argonaut Southwest. The court has allotted 15 minutes for each side to present oral arguments.
May it please the court, Mr. John W. Cliff will be presenting arguments to petitioner. Mr. Cliff has reserved 4 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, my name is John Cliff, attorney for petitioner Dervis C. Taylor. This is an appeal from a order of dismissal by the 64th District Court of Hale County, Texas. The facts of the case can be summarized briefly. On May 10, 1988, the Industrial Action Board rendered its decision denying petitioner benefits under the Workers' Compensation Act. The day for filing notice of intent to appeal such ruling was May 30, 1988. However, May 30, 1988 was Memorial Day, a recognized holiday, and under Article 8307, Section 5B of the Texas Revised Civil Statute, the filing date or the date on which such notice was due was extended to the next day that was not a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday. That would have been May 31, 1988. Petitioner filed or mailed its notice of appeal on May 31, 1988. And it was received by the board on June 2, 1988. Suit was thereafter filed on June 17th in the 64th District Court of Hale County, and upon motion by the defendant was dismissed for lack of jurisdiction, such ruling having been upheld by the Court of Appeals in Amarillo. The sole point brought forth to this court is that the notice of intent to appeal was timely filed pursuant to Article 8307, Section 5B, and Rules 4 and 5 of the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure. The key issue in this case is when is the last day to mail a notice of intent to appeal a ruling of the Industrial Action Board. Petitioner's contention is that four-step analysis is required to determine the last date for filing or for mailing a notice of appeal. First, a determination of the appropriate filing date needs to be made. In this case, that was 20 days after the date of the decision under Article 8307, Section 5. Second step, determine whether or not that filing date is subject to any extensions. In this case, Article 8307, Section 5B provides a specific extension of a filing date. If the last day, the 20th day, is a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday, the filing date is extended to the next day that is not a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday. Having now determined the absolute final filing date, the third step is to determine when the notice can be mailed or when the required document can be mailed.
Counsel, in that connection, did we say in Ward that you have to mail the notice at least one day before the expiration of the deadline?
That's correct, Your Honor. The wording
so in order for us to rule for you, we're going to have to either overrule, ward, or extend the filing deadline, not the day before, but on the actual day.
Yes, Your Honor. In Ward, the court did, tracking Rule 5 of the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure at that time, hold that the date for mailing was one day or more before.
And that did not happen here?
That did not happen here, Your Honor, no. Our contention is that in Ward, the day before the filing deadline was not a Saturday or Sunday holiday, Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday. Consequently, the court was not called upon in Ward to determine whether or not there is an extension of the mailing date. I fully acknowledge that in Ward, the court used the exact language one day or more before. I don't dispute that. But that was tracking Rule 5 without any consideration of Rule 4. As I will argue on behalf of the petitioner in this case, Rule 4 needs to be looked at in determining whether or not the last day for mailing can be extended.
Councilman, we have to overrule Green versus Texas Employment Commission in order to achieve the result that you asked us to.
No, Your Honor. I do not believe that you have to overrule that case. In Green, what the Court of Appeals in El Paso held was that Rule 4 doesn't enlarge the filing deadline for a appeal of the TEC decision. It has nothing to do with mailing. Green versus TEC only had to do with the filing deadline.
Well, when on page 810, it says, El Paso Court of Appeals says, we've concluded that Rule 4 may not be used to enlarge the statutory time limit for appeal from the administrative proceeding before the Texas Employment Commission. That's the holding of that court that I'm most concerned about.
The facts in Green were that the question was, if the 10th day after decision of the Texas Employment Commission happened to fall on a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday, was the filing deadline extended to the next day that was not a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday? In that case, the appellant argued that under both Rule 4 and under Article 5539D, it was extended. The court began its consideration of that argument by saying, we don't find that Rule 4 applies to extend the filing deadline. It didn't have anything to do with the mailing deadline. Rule 4 states that if an event or a time period ends on a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday, then it's to be extended to the next day.
Isn't the mailing deadline in effect an extension of the filing deadline?
It's our contention that the mailing deadline, or that the filing deadline in Rule 4 extends the mailing deadline under Rule 5, and not the reverse. In Green, the court was concerned with whether or not under Rule 4 extended the filing deadline. We're not arguing that Rule 4 extends the filing deadline of a notice of intent to appeal. That's governed by Article 8307, Section 5B. That's what extends the filing deadline. This court held in Ward, however, that Rule 5 of the Rules of Civil Procedure, the mailbox rule, should be looked to determine or can be looked to and was adopted as a guiding light in determining when the deadline was for mailing notice.
So does it make any difference if Rule 5 has changed?
Only to the extent that it might reflect this court's opinion in its rulemaking capacity that something needed to be done to straighten out the confusion in the Court of Appeals regarding the interplay of Rules 4 and 5.
If Rule 5 had been in effect when Ward was decided, would this notice be timely or not?
I believe it would, Your Honor. If the current Rule 5 had been in effect, because under the current Rule 5, if you mail it, if it's mailed on the day, on or before the day on which it's due under Rule 5, then it's timely. But at the time that Ward was decided, Rule 5 said Rule 5 said it had to be one day or more before.
Have you considered the implications of the rule you propose or the holding you propose on other statutory time limits in other contexts other than in appeals from notices of intent to appeal the ruling of the IAB?
Not really, Your Honor. No, I haven't. I think with the amendments between the Texas Rules of Appellate Procedure, which also, if they had been applied to this case, even as they were in effect in 1988, the mailing deadline would have been on the Monday or the Tuesday that the notice was mailed.
Well, of course, this is a repealed statute, is it not?
Yes, sir. Yes, Your Honor.
And so the decision we make, even if it's in your favor, will affect the immediate litigants here, but will also be cited, I presume, as authority that Rule 4 can be used to extend the statutory time limits in a variety of other contexts.
Yes, Your Honor, to the extent that it arose before the amendment of Rule 5 now, because what Rule 5 now accomplishes is the same thing that I'm arguing that Rule 4 would accomplish in conjunction with Rule 5. Our basic argument is, Your Honors, that under Rule 5 of the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure, as they existed at the time this case was decided, Rule 5 provided that if a document needed to be filed, then there was two time periods for filing that document if the mail was used. Number one, that it be placed in the mail one day or before the time period, and number two, that it be received not more than 10 days tardily. It's our contention that Rule 5 has to be those two time periods under Rule 5 have to be computed or analyzed in conjunction with Rule 4, which states that in computing any period of time prescribed by the rules, if the last day is a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday, then the last day is extended to the next day that's not a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday. The last day for mailing under Rule 5 was the holiday, May 30th, because that was the day before the day for filing. By applying Rule 4 to Rule 5, the last day would have been extended to the next day, which was Tuesday, May 31st, the day on which notice was filed, was mailed in this case. For that reason, we'd ask the court to reverse the decision of the Court of Appeals in Amarillo and remand this case to the trial court for a new trial. Thank you, Your Honor.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, this is Dan Whalen, who's been arguing for the respondent.
Please the court. My name is Dan Whalen. I'm here today representing Argonaut Southwest Insurance Company. In my view, the issue before the court is whether or not the appellant or the petitioner has complied with the mandates that have been set down by this court in the Ward case. Did they comply with the mailbox rule? The Ward case says a notice of intention to appeal, in order to be timely filed, must be mailed one day or more prior to the filing deadline.
But it decides that based on Rule 5, and Rule 5 has changed.
That's correct, Your Honor. It also, I don't have a response to that, excuse me. The Ward case also was based upon equitable considerations that are clearly not present in this case. There's no discussion or anything in the record that would indicate that the equitable considerations present in Ward are present in this case. The court can only assume that the petitioner chose to mail their notice of intention to appeal on the last day, as is conceded. In my view, the Hopkins case is the only case that the petitioner has cited as authority for his proposition of extending the period of time for timely mailing a notice of intention to appeal. The Hopkins case has not been followed, has been criticized by every court of appeals that has discussed it, in the Gotcher case, in the Walker case, in the Siegel case.
Could the notice have been mailed the day before it was due in this case?
Yes, sir, it could have been. It could have been mailed on the Monday. Could have been mailed on a Sunday. As pointed out by the Siegel court, it doesn't necessarily have to be postmarked on that day. In the Siegel case, the court said that you can prove that up by affidavit. In fact, that's what they did in the Siegel case.
In your argument, there's no need to extend it back because no matter what day it falls on, it can still be mailed.
Sure. Really, the argument is whether or not Rule 4 should be engrafted upon the compact. The compact, 8307 Section B, has its own provisions regarding situations where the filing deadline falls on a Sunday or a legal holiday. There's no need to engraft Rule 4 onto the compact, onto 8307 Section B. The courts of appeals in Walker, in Gotcher, in Siegel, all have said that Rule 4 cannot make a filing timely that would otherwise not be timely filed under Rule 5.
What harm does it do to engraft it?
What it would do would be to ignore the jurisdictional mandates of the Workers' Compensation Act. It's been clearly pointed out that timely mailing or timely filing of your notice of intention to appeal is jurisdictional. If it is not done so, then the district court does not have jurisdiction to hear the suit set aside the board award. Sure, we could ignore that, but I would submit to you that the only exception that this court has engrafted on 8307 Section B was the one set forth in Ward, and there's no compelling reason to engraft any more exceptions onto 8307 Section B.
Do you believe that a decision to engraft it would have any impact beyond the impact on this repealed statute?
It could be cited for a proposition in many other contexts. if that were the case, then this would set a precedent for extending the filing of notices in any other or many other administrative proceedings, as was in the Green case. That was an unemployment compensation case. So I could see that it could be argued that it applies to not only the Workers' Compensation Act, but a wide variety of other administrative proceedings.
And the basic harm in any of those other cases would be that people would have an extra day to file their appeal?
If the court, that would be the result. I think what the court was driving at in Ward was, sure, we want to liberally construe the Workers' Compensation Act to allow the injured person their day in court, but we're not going to ignore the jurisdictional mandates of timely filing your notice of intention to appeal and also timely filing your suit to set aside the board award. I think if the court adopts the position that has been argued by the petitioner herein, the court would have to do a number of things. Number one, it would have to overrule Ward. It would expressly have to overrule Ward. There's another case that has not been discussed that was decided subsequent to Ward, the Tamez case, which is another workers' compensation case where the 19th day, the proper day for mailing the notice of intention to appeal, was a Sunday.
Did counsel raise the Rule 4 argument in Tamez?
Pardon me?
Did counsel in Tamez raise the Rule 4 argument that's being proposed by petitioner here today?
No, sir, they didn't need to. They did not need to, because the requirements of the mailbox rule, as set forth by this court and Ward, were not complied with. They simply waited till the last day, as in this case, to mail it. Consequently, it was not timely. The court would have to overrule Ward, Tamez, the other opinions that Mr. Cliff has talked about. The Hopkins case is the only authority that he has cited that supports his position. The Gotcher case would have to be overruled. The Walkup case would have to be overruled. The Siegel case would have to be overruled. And implicitly, the Green case would be overruled. Very simply stated, I think the court has been very clear in setting forth what one needs to do to timely perfect its appeal from a board award they don't want to abide by. They've got to timely mail their notice of intention to appeal, and pursuant to Ward, that must be mailed one day prior to the due date and must be received by the board within 10 days of the due date. As is conceded by the petitioner herein, that was not done. And the only way to get to where the petitioner wants the court to go is to follow Hopkins, which was a no-writ case, which has been criticized by Walker, which has been criticized by Gotcher, which has been criticized by Siegel. Although those cases were not workers' compensation cases, they did discuss the interrelation of Texas Rule of Civil Procedure 4 and Texas Rule of Civil Procedure 5. Those cases were NRE cases.
Counsel, have you undertaken to do a survey of the implications of the adoption of the rule proposed by a petitioner on other statutory time limits?
No, Your Honor, I have not, other than simply in the context of the Green case. I could only guess as to what other argument would be made in other administrative appeal type situations.
Well, of course, in deciding this case, we need to decide how this case will be interpreted by other litigants in other contexts, because this is a repealed statute, and our decision here in drafting Rule 4 on other statutory time limits, I can only imagine it might have far-reaching impact, and I would invite both sides to consider that matter and consider supplemental filings relating to the impact on other cases. It may be a boogeyman. It may be serious, but I think that's something that we'd like to consider.
I think very clearly, at the least, it would present a very strong argument for extending the time periods for various and sundry other administrative appeal procedures. No question about it. That, in a nutshell, is our position. Clearly, the mandates of the mailbox rule set forth in Ward have not been complied with. I would submit to the court that the Court of Appeals in Amarillo was correct in sustaining the trial court's dismissal of this case for lack of jurisdiction.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court. To address the first issue, which I think the court has expressed some concern is what effect the ruling in this case extending Rule 4 to an interpretation of Rule 5 would have on other statutory schemes. Of course, petitioner would be glad to supply the court with a supplemental brief and look into that issue. However, I don't think it's going to be that much of a problem because we've got to have two facts present before it's going to affect other statutes. Number one, those statutes must incorporate either by court decision or their own wording Rule 5 to determine filing deadlines and extensions or the mailbox rule in Rule 5. And number two, they have to be before 1990. Because any case after 1990 that applies Rule 5 of the Rules of Civil Procedure, this wouldn't be a problem. Because under the present Rule 5 adopted by this court in 1990, all you got to do is mail it on the same day it's due and it's deemed timely. I'd like to discuss two things brought up by Respondent's counsel. First of all, he argues that in order to rule in favor of petitioner in this case, this court's decision in Ward versus Charter Oak would have to be overruled. I don't think that's correct because, as I mentioned before, in Ward versus Charter Oak, the court was not faced with the day of mailing being a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday, and therefore was not called upon to bring into play the computation provisions of Rule 4 in interpreting Rule 5. All the court would have to do regarding Ward versus Charter Oak is say we weren't faced with this issue. And we track the wording of Rule 5 without taking into account the effect that Rule 4 would have on that because it wasn't an issue in Ward versus Charter Oak. That's all we're arguing here, is that when you calculate the time period for mailing under Rule 5, you have to use the computation method prescribed in Rule 4.
But why would you do that if you can mail on Saturdays, Sundays, and legal holidays?
Simply because Rule 4 says you can. I mean, it's a time period.
You can't file on Saturdays, Sundays, and legal holidays because the courthouse is closed. There's nobody there. But there doesn't need anybody there to mail something.
That's true, Your Honor.
So why would you extend the mailing?
Other than the fact that there is a reason to believe that the law allows that and it can be relied on under the Hopkins decision and Rule 4 and Rule 5, from a practical standpoint, other than to say you don't have to work on Saturday, Sunday, a legal holiday, and go to the post office. The clerks don't have to work, the lawyers don't have to work, and we don't have to drive to the post office.
We can all shop.
Right.
Does your town have mail service on Sunday?
I don't know, Your Honor. I've always relied on Rule 4 and never seen whether it does or not. Counsel for respondent also argues that the court would have to overrule TAMAS. As Justice Cornyn pointed out, in TAMAS, the counsel for appellant never raised the issue of a Rule 4 extension of Rule 5. In TAMAS, which did involve a similar fact situation, the decision of the court doesn't even mention in the decision, other than in the last paragraph in passing, that the day before the filing date was a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday. What the counsel in TAMAS relied on said in Ward, the Supreme Court said that you got to mail it a day or more before and it's got to be received within 10 days. Well, our notice was received within 10 days, therefore we met one of the two tests of Ward versus Charter Oak. And the court in TAMAS said, no, you got to meet both tests of Ward versus Charter Oak and both tests of Rule 5, not either one of them. Since that issue was not addressed in TAMAS, the fact that the court reached a different decision than would be reached under the argument being made to this court, we think it's of little significance.
Counsel, to reach the result that you are arguing, would we have to disapprove the language in Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church of Dallas versus Siegel, where Justice Aiken says the policy behind Rule 4 is not to provide gratuitous extensions, but to accommodate situations in which courthouse employees are given the day off? In other words, I guess as a follow-up to Justice Heck's question about being able to mail it any day of the week.
Yes, so, Your Honor.
Do we have to disapprove that?
If Rule 4 and Siegel and this Court's ruling in Ward versus Charter Oak stand for the proposition that the reason there's an extension of the filing deadline is because the clerks are entitled to have a day off and there's not going to be anybody there to receive it, to that extent, yes. Mailing doesn't require the use of a facility that's otherwise closed. So from that standpoint, yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument in the first call. This court will take a brief recess.
The audience, please rise.